Our reading this morning comes from Luke's Gospel. You'll find it on page 1041, and it's from Luke chapter 10, verses 1 to 9. Page 1041. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, 'The kingdom of God is near you.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Jean. Well, it's great to be here to celebrate this morning and to be church together. I'm still amazed and excited to be part of this church. Many years after I arrived here as a student, I've told you the story before about how it was my surprise, really, that I ended up coming here as a student. But I don't think I've shared with you why the reason is I'm still here today, or one of the many reasons why I'm still here today. In my third year in university, I'd done 3 years, and I was worshipping here in St. Michael's in college. And I come to my third year and thinking and praying about what to do and applying for jobs across Britain and not sure really where I was going to go next. The church here at the time was looking for a new church administrator to replace Jane Ross, who was working here at the time. And it was a very different era. I have to say this before I introduce the next sentence. The rector and wardens had gone through a list of all of the female graduating students that year, looking for a secretary who could replace Jane Ross, and had asked a few of them, and all of them had said no, and they were at a loose end. And this is the way that God works, isn't it? Doesn't he? Just been sharing in St. Meyer about how God makes sure we're in the right place. As part of my third year at university, I was studying librarianship, and one of my modules required me to write a computer program to produce an index for a book. Any book it could be, but you just had to prove that you could write the program to do it and how indexes work. And at the time, in St. Michael's Church, they had a songbook, which was very nice, but it didn't have an index to where everything was. And I thought, right, what I'll do, I'll produce an index to this book, and it'll be useful for the church, and it'll be getting me past my module in university, which it did. I remember writing this computer program, putting the songbook through it, producing an index, and I pushed it through the rectory letterbox. Said, "Here you are, this is my project for college. You might find it useful to print this and put it in your songbook." It was the very week that they were considering who can be the church administrator, and I ended up being offered the job here. "Will you," said the rector, "take on the job as administrator for 2 years? I said, "I'll do three. How about that?" I ended up doing that job for 8 years and still here now as vicar all these years later. So it's amazing, isn't it? But isn't it good the way God uses us and guides us? It's good to be church together here, the people of God. Now that I'm vicar, people often say to me, "Oh, Mark, the church should be doing this, or the church should be doing that." And I say, "Off you go then." Because it's not me who is the church. We are the church together. And there's a great passage here we're going to look at in Luke's gospel here of Jesus using other people, motivating them, sending them out to do his work, to partner with him in proclaiming the kingdom of God has come near you. I mean, that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. But let's just pray as we begin. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that as we look at it this morning, it will come alive to us. You will challenge us and guide us. and lead us on to where you want us to be, serving you. Amen. When preparing a sermon, I look quite in detail about the text and see what stands out from the passage. Something gets quite major. I think, wow, that's a real new revelation for me theologically, and I had to unpack that. Sometimes it's really something quite small. And I started with this one in verse 4. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. And that verse jumped out at me, do not take sandals. And I thought, that's strange. Did Jesus want them to go barefoot? That would be a bit painful. That would distract them from their way. But actually, if you look in the Greek, it's talking about do not carry sandals. Do not carry sandals with you, i.e. don't take a spare pair. We need to travel light and depend on God. And this great sending out passage can actually all be summed up with shoes. So that's where we're going this morning. Luke's shoes we're going to be looking at in here. And our passage, Jesus sends out 70 or 72 people, depending on the translations, one or the other, all in twos, sending them out to proclaim the gospel message and heal the sick. Off you go, he says. Go, I am sending you like lambs among wolves. Go, he says. Off you go. Or even maybe shoo, you could say, that he would say to them. So we can look at the different parts of a shoe, which will help us unpack this passage for us this morning. And we start with the upper of the shoe. And what would have been uppermost in the disciples' minds? Protection. And it's the upper of the shoe that gives out the protection from a lot. The most basic thing a shoe offers to us is protection. Protection against the weather, protection against the hard road, the stones, and handy too if people tread on your feet. When I was a child at primary school, we had a rule. When you did PE, you had a choice. You could either wear pumps, plimsolls, or you could do PE barefoot. Very soon I worked out it was far better to have something on your feet with all those other children dancing around you or playing football. It was far safer to have that protection. I've got a pair of Wellington boots at home that I take when I'm going to be around horses, and they've got a great steel toe cap on them. Again, this is something I found out through trial and error. If you wear ordinary Wellington boots and a horse stands on your toe, it hurts quite a lot. So I wear these ones with the steel toe cap, and it gives you protection. Protection. And when these people were appointed by Jesus, they were sent out into a dangerous environment. They needed protection. That would have been uppermost in their minds. I'm sending him out like lambs among wolves. Doesn't sound too encouraging, does it? Not too promising. But for Christians in the world today, they are like lambs amongst wolves. In many, many countries, Christians can be arrested for just talking about Jesus, for giving a Bible to someone, for sharing their faith. They can be imprisoned. Even in our country, we have Christians who've lost their jobs because they've insisted on holding to biblical values or refusing to compromise to the standards of the modern world. So we need to pray for protection for ourselves as we seek to live out the good news of Jesus in our community, but also to pray for Christians around the world who are suffering because of their faith, and there's an opportunity to do that tomorrow. Check your notice sheet. So the upper of the shoe, the uppermost thing would have been protection for these people here. What next from a shoe? Laces we go next. And I'm not very good at laces. Even though I always tie my laces in a double knot, they seem to still come undone at regular intervals. Often when I'm in a hurry or it's raining, I don't want to bend down and retie those soggy bits of lace. And I'm getting older now as well, so I can bend down, but it's getting back up again after I finish tying my shoelaces that seem to be the problem. But a double knot reminds us of a double knot here in verse 4. Two knots. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. Strange. The disciples here are told not to take anything with them. Go as they are. Just go, says Jesus. Now, rely on God providing for you. There's no need for money. You need to carry things, clutter yourselves up, to rely on yourself. God will provide. No need for extra clothes or shoes. There'd just be an additional worry. Things can get in the way of our faith. material things. When we look at our lives, how much do we get distracted by money, possessions, clothes, the second pair of shoes that they weren't allowed to take? Jesus realized how sidetracked we can get. Hence this instruction, leave behind your money, your clothes, all the distractions. Concentrate on the one thing. I'm sending you out to proclaim that important message. Don't get distracted. Go tell people the kingdom of God has come near to you. So the first knot, do not take too much stuff with you. The second knot, though, is puzzling. Jesus says, do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. That sounds a bit odd, doesn't it? Should you not be able to stop to say hello to someone? Would be a bit rude, wouldn't it, to ignore them and walk past them? That wouldn't be good. And surely they shouldn't miss an evangelistic opportunity that might come through having a conversation with somebody on the road. What is this about? But Jesus is making a point here. These are people with a mission. And they've been allocated to go to a town or a village each, or in twos, and they're going out. There's an area that they've got to go and evangelize. That's their task. And they need to remember it, not to get distracted by spending time catching up with people on the road that they haven't seen for a while, or maybe getting tricked by strangers or robbed. How they spend their time is important. They have a time limit. They're going ahead of Jesus, and Jesus is going to visit these places. They've got to get there first. If they spend time chatting on the way, they won't be there in time. So that first knot reminds us not to get too caught up with material things. The second knot, do not greet anyone on the road, reminds us about time. It's a challenge for us. These disciples here had to be accountable for their time. When Jesus arrived in the town or village where they were, he'd want to see how they'd been spending their time. Had they been sticking to the task that had been sent? And the challenge for us when Jesus returns or when we go to meet him, how will we be able to account for the use of our time? How much time do we waste when there is an urgent mission that Jesus has sent upon? So, up as the laces, the sticker. If you ask young people about shoes, the most important thing is they say is the label. That's what they tell me. Who made it? Is it one of the names that is currently trendy? And our footwear often comes with logos or stickers to say who made it. The sticker reminds us of the stickability that was needed by these disciples sent out by Jesus. In verses 5 to 7, we see where they received a welcome, they were to stay. They were to remain there, not to be fickle and move from house to house, thinking the grass is greener over there, I'll try there, stay there. It would be easy for them, wouldn't it, if they didn't seem to be making much progress in one part of the town, to try, well, I'll try somewhere else. I'll try down by the market, or I'll try somewhere else. But they were called to stay, to stick it out. Even if it's tough, they needed to be persistent, durable disciples. That's a good label. Do we have that label? Are we durable disciples? Do we have stickability? Have we kept our faith? When we look at Wales and we see so many struggling churches, we hear of church leaders who've given up on their faith. We suffer setbacks in our own lives and wonder why God has allowed this to happen. Do we stick with it? Do we stay faithful? Are we durable disciples? Or do we go on looking for better picking somewhere else? A sticker on the shoe reminds us to stick with Jesus. So, uppers, laces, stickers, what else do you have in shoes? Well, where do the laces go? They go in the eyelets. And this reminds us that the disciples were expected to say, I let them feed me when they returned. They called for them humility. I'm sure some of those disciples, especially the ones with a bit of money to their name, would have preferred to be self-sufficient, to book into a nice hotel, to use their money, to not have to live by faith. But no, they were called to look for hospitality and stay there, eating and drinking whatever is given you, not whatever you go and buy. You have to let them feed you. Humility. It can be hard for us to be dependent on others, But that's what we're called to be, humbly living off the charity of others. That's what they were here. We're not supposed to be sponging off others in our walk of faith, but we are called to be humble, to treat others as greater and more important than us, to learn to be a church as community, looking after one another, helping, caring, giving, sharing. I let them feed me, the disciples were expected to say. And we come to the last three parts, the most important instructions, all featured here in verse 9, right at the end. Firstly, it's in verse 9. Heal the sick, says Jesus here. We are called to heal those who are ill. That's the first instruction to these disciples. When you get there, this is what you're called to do. Heal those who are ill. In this church here, we're committed to praying for those who are ill, to look after those who are suffering, to provide care. God heals people today. We're called to pray and to care. If you'd like prayer today, there will be a prayer team after the service, and I'd be happy to pray for you, for healing, but for anything that you need. Do go up for prayer. We as a church are committed to this, to caring. Interesting to note the order as well, isn't it? When you enter a town, are welcome to eat what is offered you. Heal those who are ill, and then tell them the kingdom of God has come near to you. Heal the sick, and then tell them your message. Do something practical to help. They were given the gift of healing to restore health to people they met, and they could then share the message of the kingdom of God. A challenge for us today to do something practical for those around us, and then tell them the message. The kingdom of God has come near to you. Which reminds us of the next part of the tongue. The tongue. Use your tongue to tell them. That's what they're expected to do. Heal the sick, and then use their tongues to tell them. Tell them the kingdom has come near. Jesus is on the way. These were sent out ahead of Jesus to tell them just that. The kingdom of God has come near. What does that mean in practice? It means Jesus is coming to you. He's on the way here. They were sent as heralds to the local towns and villages, the places that Jesus was going to visit. And we are called to speak to others about Jesus. We don't all have to preach at them, but we shouldn't be shy about talking to our faith. We're sent by Jesus as messengers to a world in need of hope, to people who haven't heard about God's love for them. In the Welsh house group in St. Maia, we just completed a training sessions called Sôn am Iesu, speaking about Jesus, talking Jesus, I think it's available in English. And it talks about how you bring faith into everyday conversations, dropping Jesus into conversations with your friends, and not necessarily pulling out a Bible and preaching at them, but just mentioning how important your faith is to you, telling them what God has done for you, how he's led you to something, how he's healed you, how he's done something for you, what he's been involved in. Even as simple as something tomorrow morning when you go to work and people say, did you have a good weekend? Don't just talk about the rugby. Particularly don't talk about the rugby. But what about me saying, well, yes, the highlight was going to church, to worshiping God. Just little things. Share your faith. Tell them something about God. Tell them something about Jesus and what he means to you. Use your tongue. The message from Luke Shue. Because, and our last point, it is all about saving souls. The message at that time was that Jesus is near. The King of Kings is coming to you. And our message today is the same. God is near. We're in the business of seeking to rescue lost souls. The kingdom of God is near. Because of the death of Jesus on the cross, paying the price for our sin, we have access into God's presence. we can draw near to God. God is near. This lovely verse in Hebrews chapter 4 says, "Let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." We can draw near to God because of what Jesus has done. So that's a little message from the shoe today to help you remember we're being sent out as disciples of Jesus to proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God. So as you put your shoes on this week, think back to that passage. Remember that you have been sent out to proclaim the good news, each and every one of us. So he says, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus. Thank you for this story today about him sending out his disciples to heal the sick and proclaim the kingdom of God is near. We pray that we will take on that role of being your ambassadors this week, taking your message of good news to the people we meet. This we ask for your glory, and in the name of Jesus, your Son, our Saviour. Amen.